Ecclesiastes 3:1. I want to talk about time. Now, this particular message, I could preach for about a month of Sundays. But it's just been tugging on my heart, so I wanted to preach. I really wish I had a lot of time today, because I wouldn't mind prophesying to some people. So. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. That's all. There's a season, and there are seasons, because he says to everything there is a season. So life is seasonal. Things come, things go. You have your spring and your summer, your fall and your winter. Particularly in the Midwest, we're blessed to have all four seasons that they're visible and tangible. You can feel winter here. You step out after service, you're going to feel some summer here too. But for to everything, there is a season and a time for every purpose. But time. I said, okay, now how do you define time? Because you want to say, well, time is time. So how do you define it? And then the other thing that's interesting about time is that time didn't really start ticking. The chronos, chronological time, the measurement of time, the measurement that is observed, that is recorded, that is managed, really didn't happen until sin. Because before sin, there was no need for the measurement of time, because there was just eternity. There was no measurement of time. But once you had sin that entered the picture, it was necessary for there to be the measurement of time to be able to box sin in. Some of y'all will get this. Some of you get it about 10 years. But in order for there to be the end of time, there had to be time. So sin, the devil has measured time. You can't stay forever. Sin, you can't stay forever. The devil can't remain forever. He can't be the prince of the air forever. Can't be the god of this world forever. This system of darkness can't. No, that's going to end one day. In the fullness of time, the Bible talks about Jesus coming. Measured time. So time is something. So the definition, just the first one out of Webster, is the indefinite continued progress of existence and events in the past, present, and future regarded as a whole. I know, right? So let me rewind that and come back at it one more time. Time, defined, is the indefinite continued progress of existence and events in the past, present, and future regarded as a whole. Did y'all get that? So it involved past, present, future. But time is an interesting deal. Now, for us, we have the past, okay? Now we're talking history. History. In your past, you have history. In the past, of just in general, biblically, we have history. And the Bible said that those things are actually for our learning. Well, it should be. There's a lot of wisdom in the past. If you listen to some people that's ahead of you, some older people, and I found it doesn't have to be a long time, 10, 20 years ahead of you, they can tell you some things because they've lived, and there's some history there that they can draw from, and you could benefit if you would just tap into what they already know so that the street you're about to travel down, because it's history for them. It's your future, but it's their history. So they can tell you now historically, you know, when I'm flying, when we're flying particularly across the Atlantic, you know, they map out their routes, and they also have knowledge of what to anticipate in terms of the ride, whether there's going to be turbulence, if there's storms. And so what the pilot would do is get on the microphone and begin to tell us, you know, where we're going, how we're going to be flying, how long it's going to take us to reach our destination, you know, what's the weather report presently where we are, and what's the weather report in the future, where we're going. But he will also then inform us. He'll say, now, in about 2 hours, I'm going to probably need to have you put your seatbelts on, because the pilots ahead of me tells me that right around that space right there, there's some severe turbulence. And so in anticipation of that, I'm telling you now that this is what's coming. So just be prepared to get in your seat and lock on your seatbelt, because we're about to experience a rough ride. Now, only the fool decides that he wants to go to the restroom right before that occurs. Are you with me? One time we were flying from Nigeria, and there are times when they don't have enough time because they didn't have the history. They're the first ones to encounter it. So I'm coming out of the restroom, and immediately the pilot, he gets on the microphone, and he says, wherever you're standing now, take a seat. You don't have time to get back to your seat, because this is something we didn't anticipate. So, but I need you to go ahead and take cover. Now, you have to listen to the voices. I wish I had time to really work this today, because there's something about time that's very powerful. So we have time past. We have history. You know, I thank God that God's given me ears to be able to listen. A lot of folk can't listen for whatever reason. They prefer the turbulence. They prefer getting knocked around in the cabin. They don't like to sit down and put their seatbelt on. I don't know what it is about that. You know, but some folk just like it rough. I don't know, you know. Something like that. But I want to draw from the history. I told the brothers yesterday, and thank God for you, brothers. I want to, please, brothers, I do this every now and then. I know. But can all the men in this church just stand up? Because folk need to see what we're working with here. Come on, brothers. I'm sorry. Come on. That's what we were. Come on, Brother Miller. You're one of the brothers now. Work them knees. I know. I was just trying to push you up a little bit. All right. Thank God for y'all. This is good. I always brag about y'all. I feel good about all y'all. But I told the brothers yesterday, I'm thankful to God for the ability to hear. Ability to hear God. Ability to hear them. We got some young men in our group, some older men in our group. I'm listening to everybody. Right? But time, history. We have history. But then we have the future. And the future gives you, you know, something to look forward to. You know, if you believe the word of God, then your future is bright. And it doesn't really matter. Listen to me. We're talking time. We're talking about the whole of it. We're talking about the past, the present, and the future. So if you're in Christ, when you're in Christ and you really believe the word of God, then you are fully convinced with everything in you that your future is brighter than your past or your present. If you really trust and believe God, you know that the end of the deal is sweeter than anything you could imagine. If you really believe God, it doesn't matter what's happened in the past. It doesn't matter what's going on in your present. If you trust the God that I serve, you know that it can only get better. Time. But it's seasonal. It has the movement that transpire within time is very, very interesting. But then you have the present. Now, Most people struggle with the present more than the past and more than the future. It seems like we're preoccupied with one or the other or both. Some church folk, they love to talk about how it used to be back in the day. Well, that was back in the day. That time has passed. That's history, mama. That's history. And you can learn some things from history. Because everything wasn't as sweet. I found out that many things we romanticize about the past. It wasn't all that, but now that you're here in the present, and your present is feeling the way it's feeling because you got to deal with the reality of now, you need a fantasy to keep you inebriated. Come on, Egypt wasn't all that bad. Take us back there. We had all them leaks and you see. So it's interesting. The time thing is very, very interesting. I'm just praying that God will stretch this time this morning so I can get this out like I need to. So people get preoccupied. They get preoccupied with the future. Some of the church people, you know, I grew up, all they talk about was the rapture. Oh, I can't wait till the rapture comes because, oh, the Lord going to lift us up out of all this pain. Well, you're only in pain, really, if you don't believe. Because if you really believe, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of them all. That's number one. Number two, I cause all things to work together for your good. If you love me, huh? You call according to my purpose? Hey, now. David said, I was young. Now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. All these are truths. That if you don't live by those, you'll be miserable with the rest of the world. But we sang them songs, going up yonder. In fact, this morning I turned on the Kirk Franklin channel, and I heard Mahalia Jackson. I said, now that's a dilemma there. If I want to hear Mahalia and how many blind boys, all them blind boys, I go over to that channel. There's 5, 4, 5 blind boys. Then I go over to the blind boy channel. I ain't trying to hear that right now. Oh, she was talking about being up in glory. I told Gloria, I said, she there? Nah, she was singing about it. She made it, you know. Then girlfriend said, take me to the king. I said, please, somebody take her because I'm tired of hearing her sing about it. Hurry up. Get her over there. Call Uber or somebody and get her in there. Take her time. She wants to just stroll down the golden roads. I know. So time. We got the past, we got the future, then we have the present, but we want to be preoccupied with one or the other because we can't deal with now. If you'll get a hold of the principles of God, the values of the kingdom, and you start to actually apply them to your life, not just come to church for a message to you know, anesthetize you. You treat the preaching as a pain reliever. It's a Tylenol. You don't want to really fix the problem. You just want to numb the pain. I'm preaching really good right now. You see, this is they call it a theater. The operating room is a theater, they call it. And when they bring you in, we were sharing with the brothers yesterday, certain procedures, they have to give you some Michael Jackson juice to ease you right on to sleep so they can take care of some things. But when you come in this room, when you come in this theater, you should come expecting there to be a surgery. There's going to be a surgical procedure if you came in with the right attitude and the right spirit, the the right mind. You come in here. If you come in here for a song and a dance, then you're going to leave disappointed. You won't be excited. It's like, okay, well, they sing a few songs. No, we were saying something in song. It's more than a melody. There was a message. If you miss the message and all you need is the melody, then that's part of the problem. Just take a cup of Tylenol. You'll be good. But you should come expecting for there to be surgery, open heart surgery. Cut me open and fix me up and put stuff where it needs to be. Sometimes they got to go down here and get the vein and pop it up here and jump that heart so everything is flowing properly. You should come in and say, Lord, do me. I'm next. Fix me. Am I preaching right now? But people don't want to deal with the present. Well, if you deal with the present, then you will face the open heart surgery. You say, Lord, I need that. Fix me. Then all of a sudden you'll have history. It's a story, some things that you gathered, some valuable experiences and points, things you can share with those that you encounter in the future. But when you let God be God in your present is better than your past, and your expectation for the future becomes even brighter. So next week next week will be the last Sunday, technically, of my 18 years of having founded and pastoring this church. Be the 19th year starting the Sunday after that. We'll be into the 19th year, and I thank God for his faithfulness and all that he's done in those years. Somebody help me just thank him for one moment. I got 32 minutes, not even, because got to have some time for the close, but I want to just share some things. Now, this message, there are certain messages that are preached that are foundational messages for the house. It's the kind of message that you should own and reflect on. I'll share some things from my heart and just give you some insight because I wanted to talk about the time, these 18 years of serving. And I wanted to talk about the test of time. Now, I'll tell my story, but as I tell my story, I want you to just reflect and consider your own story, because we all experience tests of time. Tests of time. You have your past, you have your present, you have your future. There are tests that you encounter throughout those times. And how we deal with the test of time is significant, because it's a test. It's a test. On a test, you either pass or you fail, or you get a good grade or a bad grade. And the hope is always that you get a good grade. But you do know, in order to get a good grade, there has to be some preparation. You got to study. You got to work it. You got to sometimes go beyond the call of duty to get the good grade. But the test of time, so 19 years, you know, first of all, you know, the history began with a dream, a literal dream. 1995, I had a dream, just one night. I don't know what night. I can't remember the date. But I remember waking up after having this dream, seeing this field. I'd driven down the highway and seeing this field. And then coming into this field that was cut in fours, stepping out into the field, there was Kenneth Copeland, who, in my estimation, represented faith. I don't follow his ministry or anything in particular, you know. No particular affinity. It was just he was there, and there was another black gentleman there with me. And the three of us were there. Well, Kenneth Copeland says to me in the dream, let's cross over. This field belongs to us. Now, this is nothing but a tree-lined horizon, open field. And he said, let's pray. So we began to pray. And as we prayed in the dream, I saw all of you, not by face, but by your diversity, emerging from this tree-lined horizon. It was a multicultural line of people, and they kept coming and coming and coming, and the dream ended. Woke up. Now, we all have dreams. But this dream, the best way I can explain it, there was like a you know how the picture gets burned on a TV screen if it's stuck on one image for a long time? So it was just there. Yeah, and the entire day, all I could see was this dream repeated. And it just wouldn't leave me, I couldn't shake it. And then Delta's brother came. We had a copy center business at the time. Delta's brother came, Marty, and he was just coming in to make some copies and say hello. And so I said, "Hey, Marty." He said, "Man, Nolan," and we don't even have these kinds of conversations. He said, "I was driving down the road today, and I looked into a cornfield, and I saw a church." I said, "Wow." I said, "Well, Marty," and I started to tell a story, and I don't think I told him the whole story. I'm thinking, now, that's really weird. Kept staying with me. So, short story long, I get in the car with my mother-in-law. I said, "I need you to take a ride with me." She was pastoring a little church at the time, and we came, and I had only been to Plainfield one time in my life. I know some of y'all heard the story before, but that's all right. This is for the recording. We came, drove down 55, and in the dream, I remember going straight, and then there was a split. And I remember, because I'd been here one time in my life, I remember that divide, 126 there. So I said, "I think I know where this divide is. Honestly, this is really weird." So we get on the highway, we drive, and the divide is there. I said, "Wow, there it is. We're going to turn right," because in the dream, we turn right. We came right here to 135th and 59. This was only a two-lane highway, no stoplights. This was an old white farmhouse. This building did not exist. This was nothing but farm all the way around. The Myers was a farm. The gas station was a farm. Your Dunkin' Donuts y'all go to was a farm. All this was just farm, no, nothing. I pull over, and I just followed the dream. I got out. I told Mama, "Come on with me." I went in the middle of the field. I put my hands in the air, and I said, "Lord, now, if this is what you want me to do, I'll do it." Real simple, but crazy. "Lord, if this is what you want me to do, I will do it." Cried like a baby. Got in the car, drove down to what was the White Hands, now the 7-Eleven, went inside, bought a newspaper, went to City Hall, got a package on the community, went home, prayed, asked God to order my steps. "Tell me what to do now. Show me how to do this." Just crazy enough to hear God and believe he said something to me and then act on it. That was 1995. I went home, told Gloria. Of course, you know, she thought I was losing my mind because, seriously, history now. I'm a businessman. I'm an entrepreneur. This was strange. This was unusual. This didn't make sense based on history. But on that day, did I raise my hands and I said, "Lord, whatever you tell me to do, I will do it," a clock started ticking. You see, it's one thing to make a commitment. It's another thing to keep it. And the thing about making any commitment, I'm right in there now, if anything about making any commitment, whether it's marriage, whether it's a friendship, anything, you have no idea what the future holds. You only know the history and the present. You don't know what conditions might shift or change. I didn't know it would be a four-lane highway. I could have had my mind fixed on two lanes and no stoplights. You understand? Maybe I liked cornfield, but now there's brick and mortar. You don't know what the conditions will look like in the future when you make a commitment today. And And so what transpires is over time, somebody say over time. Over time, there are tests. And the test is constantly asking you, are you going to stay with what you committed to? The test of time. Are you going to stay with it, or are you going to try to manipulate your future? Are you going to try to take the steering wheel now and navigate through the future, and you're going to create your future? You're going to determine for yourself. Now, you started out saying, God, wherever you take me. But because the ride, it got rough, you didn't expect this level of turbulence at this season. So because you got turbulence now, you've decided, let me just jump off the ride and create my own future. I don't like what I'm feeling right now. My God. So the test of time, 19 years, I'm telling you, y'all been hearing me because all year has been a year of reflection for me. I've been adding up stuff. I've got some history now, mama. See, I didn't have history before. All I had was a commitment. I just verbalized to God what I would do because he told me to do something. So I had no history. I had no background. I had no experience. I wasn't that preacher. I wasn't that guy that wanted a church. I wasn't that guy that tried to attend every conference and suck up to every preacher to see if I can get an opportunity. I was a man doing something totally different, not interested in any of this, and I got seized on my Damascus road, and the Lord said, this is what I want you to do. So I said, come on. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it, and I'll do it the way you want it done. Saul had a way that he wanted to do some stuff. The Lord said, you see, that's the problem. I didn't need a thinker. I just needed somebody to obey. I didn't need you to try to manipulate the future, Saul. Saul wanted to manipulate the future. He said, okay, I don't have the priest here. Let me handle this because I know which way this is going. You don't know what God is doing. His ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. The way he does it is higher, more extraordinary. If you want to experience the fullness of God, do what he tell you to do and stop thinking so doggone much. Yeah, I could have gone right there. That's the problem. Sweet Jesus, I'm going to take my time now. We might be late. 19 years. Now I can see. What did the song say? I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. All the obstacles in my way. Now that the dark clouds. Anyway, let me move on. Come on now. Bright sunny day. Yes, sir. Preach with me, Reverend. Preach with me. So start a dream. From the dream. So I say, okay, yes, Lord. And I go to start doing what he told me to do. And there's excitement, you know, when God tells you something. I mean, I'm fired up. Now, you know, everybody I encounter, I'm telling them what God told me. I'm fired up. I'm excited. I'm thrilled. I got this vision. So I had a visual, you know, and I could see it. I'm thinking, this is what it looks like. Whew. I can't tell you how many artists I've talked to, and Yemonja is the first one to kind of get a piece of it with that piece there. But I've talked to many artists about doing a piece that kind of shows this dream. Because it's just so dear to my heart, and I can see it. And even when I can't see it, I can still see it. Does that make sense? Sometimes it don't look like it is doing what it, but then all of a sudden it peaks out a little more. And I said, there it is right there. Let's see if we can capture that. So, you know, as I told people, some others came along. It was only seven of us. You know that. It was me, my mama, my big brother, my wife, cousin, his wife, and a friend. We came out just as dumb as a box of bricks. I'm telling you, listen, the week before the service started, I didn't even realize that I didn't have a microphone. I just didn't think about it. And I won't go over all those stories, but I can just tell you this, that God provided in miraculous ways. All those things that I forgot or didn't know about, I was too dumb to know, I had no history. I was making history. Now, history is for our learning, if you want to learn. History is for wisdom, if you want to be wise. Now, I got 19 years. I'm just trying to tell you that there's some history in this thing right here, and it's working, and it's working for me, and moreover, it's working for you, if you want to learn, if you want to be wise. So we had some come along, and we had some move along. So I figured out that that happens. Ain't nothing to get excited about. It's just a process. There are times, there are seasons. Go with it. If this is a body, blood circulates. If the blood stops, you're dead. So movement is to be expected. It's a whole lot right here on this table, y'all. Just it's a whole lot now. So, but it was a tough start. It was a tough start for us. We had two little babies. I'm talking to the young people. I was 34 when we started the ministry. Some of these 34-year-olds around here, I'm telling them, now look, I ain't 34 no more. The rest of us that started when we was in our 30s, now it's time for y'all to step up to the plate and work this. At that age, we had three or four-year-old, and they require what kids that age require. But I didn't miss no prayer. I don't think I missed a prayer meeting in this church for the first 7 or 10 years. Because I believe prayer works. And I knew I needed to lead. So we did what we had to do. We managed our family affairs. See, raised our children. They're not crazy. They're a little touched, but they're not crazy. You know, but we made priorities and we kept them. We made commitments and we kept them. I'm just giving you the story. Tough, financially tough. You know, the house we live in right now, for those of y'all who've been by, we bought that house when our annual income from harvest was about $32.50. So that should tell you that, no, harvest didn't buy the house. These are important things to note. I'm talking history because, you see, if you come in now, in the present, without knowledge of the history, and I'm giving you history to say this, God did that. God did that. He said, this woman said she wanted hardwood floors in the house. We tried to buy another house. Didn't have hardwood floor. We had the contract, everything ready, rock and roll. One of the babies said, Mama ain't got no hardwood on these floors. She said, you're right, baby. The next day the phone rang. We don't want to do that deal. So the house that we are in now, 18 years later, Mama has hardwood everywhere. The house wasn't even for sale, but she wanted the house. The house was for rent. So I said, okay. I went to the man. I said, look, we don't want to rent your house. We want to buy it, but we ain't got no money. Our gross income is $32.50. Pastor Dukes was there. I got a witness right here. He walked in with us the first day when I laid on the floor and gave God thanks. History. God did it. There's so much more to that story. I can't tell you right now, but I can tell you right now that most weeks when I walk through there, I look around. I can't help but to say to myself, wow, I'm living this life. It's like a dream. I'm not talking about all that now. Don't miss what I'm saying here. The dream is that he did what he said in his word. He gave me the desires of my heart. He gave this woman the desires of her heart. And then not only did he give it, but he sustained it. Not only did he sustain it, but he made it better. A few years back, we stripped out the whole kitchen down to the studs, put a brand new one in, all the bells and whistles, everything where we wanted, how we wanted. You know, I like to cook, so I got my little spice tray. Sometimes I pull that open while I'm cooking right at the stove, and I'm thinking, look at God. And there's something about God doing something that is unlike anything you could ever think to do. You see, I watch some of y'all. I feel sorry for you, honestly. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I see you working so hard to try to get what God wants to just give you. You see, I got some history with him. I've seen him be God so many doggone times that to me, it's just crazy ridiculous to try to play God on any given day. I'm not trying to do it. Because he does it so much better than me. I try to be God. I try to be God in my own life. I call the shots. You know, and when you try to be God, you try to justify your stuff, your moves by coming up with ways to kind of wiggle, you know, let me find a loophole in this. Well, I'm going to do a little bit of this or do a little bit of that. You know, tell people, don't lie. Don't fudge and don't play little games and then come to church and testify what God did for you. Don't involve him in that. Because all you did was tie his hands. God want to do something, but because he don't ride with wrong. He doesn't ride with wrong. So don't try to involve. No, but I tell you what. See, right don't always feel good and it don't always look good. And people will observe. When you start walking right, people look at you. They think either you got game or you crazy. History. So in that time we started, a lot of folks speculated out loud. We get prophecies. I remember somebody said, "Ooh, baby, y'all going to have thousands of people." I said, mm-hmm. We got one over here to say, oh, yeah, you're going to have this big building. You're going to have this. Then somebody over here, oh, yeah, you're going to have people. They're going to. Listen to what I'm telling you now. You got to watch what you're listening to, how you're listening. Now, you know, I believe in prophecy, but prophecy is to be pondered. Not always just embrace as a fact for the moment. Ponder it. You never know how God's going to manifest it. And if it's God, you ain't got to do nothing. It'll just, I prophesied to Pastor Sam a month or so ago. He said to me this out loud. He pulled me aside in private. He said, "I have no idea what you're talking about." I said, "Neither do I. I'm just telling you what I heard." And I said, here's the thing about prophecy. It wouldn't be prophecy if you knew. So it's down the road. So I said, well, just hide it in your heart. Pray about it. Ponder it. That's all. He came to me a week ago. He said, "Come here, sit down. Let me tell you what happened." He said, "I couldn't believe it." And he said, "The dream." I said, "I know." Oh, the prophecy, I said, "I know, I get that." You know, because that's the way God does. So, but people around, particularly if they hear the prophecy, "Oh, my God, you know what that is, you know what that is." No, you don't know what that is. Just relax a bit. So we had all of that. And then a whole lot of challenges along the way. I was just thinking about the last couple of years, just dealing with this space issue. Man lose the place going to bank, going to foreclosure. From that, go for foreclosure, get receiver who's nuts. Go for, they got to fight them. You go to the next one that's crazier than the first one. This is spread out over a couple of years. You're trying to pay people, but they're playing games. And then you got floods. We were flooding here two or three times majorly where you come in, you know, and all of a sudden the whole place looks like the Red Sea and it ain't parting. Insurance companies say, we don't want to do business with you anymore. We lose our insurance. We had to get a new insurance company. You understand what I'm telling you? The test of time. You said something in 1995, little man. What you going to do? You didn't expect that turbulence. You didn't see that one coming. Some of the prophets were able to say something. But there are other things that were hidden and other things that you would be the first to come through that way. So there was nobody up ahead of you to tell you what was going to happen. You just had to face it. But it was a test of time. Test of time. You're going to stay when half the church stands up and decides they're going to leave and you've blessed them and treated them like they were your own children and they walk away like they never knew you. What you going to do with that? You going to keep loving people or you going to get bitter? Going to fight back. I'm preaching. So there's the test of time. I'm just telling you that I'm still here. 18 years later, me and Miss Glow, she getting prettier as we go. I mean, she's hot. When you trust God, you don't look all beat up. You get sexy. But I stayed the course. I ain't bragging. I'm testifying. I'm just trying to tell you, I told you now, I'm telling you a story, but you need to consider your own story. Because you're going to experience some tests as time progresses. And what you decide to do with those determine whether or not you got a report like Paul or you got a report like Saul. Test of time. Stay the course. Now Galatians 6:9 said, now let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season. Season. Remember we talked about seasons? Everything there's a season. He said, for in due season. Due season. He said, you'll reap if you do not lose heart. King James said, if you don't faint. You know, some stuff will make you faint. Make you want to pass out. Keep pushing forward based on what you committed. What'd you say to the Lord? What'd you tell him? What'd you tell God? What'd you tell God about what you're going to do? What'd you tell God? What'd you commit? Did you commit something to the Lord? What'd you tell the Lord? Because time tests you. Time tests you. Time will test you. If you really meant what you said, time will test you. So these kinds of words in the Bible are not just there because the Lord didn't have anything else to inspire these people to say. He said, listen, don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. Look at somebody and say, are you tired? Don't grow weary. In well-doing. Because you're going to reap. You're going to reap your future. It's going to be better than your past. Your future is going to be better than your present. But don't faint. Don't grow weary. You're doing well. You're doing the right thing. If you're doing the right thing, keep on doing the right thing. And do what you need to do to keep doing the right thing. Sometimes you have to call a prayer meeting, and no matter what's going on in the rest of the world, you got to come and get on your face before God because you're getting weary. You got to get on your face before God because the commitment you made is beginning to fade in your memory, but you need to get back in his presence and hear him one more time tell you, keep going, because if you don't faint, you're going to reap.
What you got coming down here, baby, is better than anything you're experiencing in the now or anything you've experienced in the past. But there's a test of time. Test of time. What you going to do with your now? Because it affects your future. So, following God, there's that test. Now, the test does a few things. I'll give you these points. I'm going to finish this one out. We're going to be late. Number one, time will test grace and callings. Now, this is important. I want to talk to some of y'all right now. See, every now and then you get somebody that'll tell you, you know, I've been called to do thus and so. Well, you know, I read the Bible and I try to pay attention to what it says. It says, lay hands suddenly upon no man. And what that means is, I don't care what you just told me. I got this tool I use called time. I'll let time tell me what you really are. I used to say it more frequently. I don't say it as often, but I don't appoint deacons until I see them deaconing. If I see you deaconing, then I ain't got to make you nothing because the proof is in the pudding. Person tell me they're a pastor, but they don't like people. I'm going to suggest to them that they're in the wrong business. You didn't get the right call. You might want to check your caller ID. That wasn't God calling. That was one of them telemarketers. I'm just making it plain for you. But God will test your mettle just with time. Everybody think he got to test you with difficulty. He ain't got to test you with no difficulty. Just let all he got to do is let some time pass. Oh, you say you committed. You're going to stand in the cornfield crying in front of your mama-in-law and say, you're going to pass the church with me in Plainfield. He said, okay, time will tell. You've heard that before. Time will tell. So he tests grace. He'll test the callings to see if you're going to do it. The second thing that he'll do is test your heart motives. He'll test the motivation of your heart. Now, sometimes when I preach this long, I think about, you know, Paul and these guys, Peter in the Bible, sometimes they preach 3 hours straight. I love it when I'm in Africa because they don't care. You preach straight through 8 hours, they don't nobody move. They barely go to the bathroom. They just hold tight. This ain't the kind of message you just grab a little something and run to the parking lot. This is what you need to get and rehearse. This is meat and taters. This right here can sustain you. But he'll test the motives of your heart. Why is it important? Well, you know, why did you do it? See, you come out. Let me tell you something. And I'm testifying for me, if that's okay. This is not a glamorous job. There ain't nothing, you know, flashy about this. There's nothing. You know, I got a microphone. I'm in front of these lights, and people come and sit, and they hear me. I travel and all that. But that's a small part of the job. It's a tough, difficult, very often thankless job. The way people, listen, I'm not fussing. I'm just telling you. But the way people abuse pastors in terms of the treatment, the way they respond or don't respond, it's amazing. When I talk to Bishop McConto, he says to me, you know, the people of God are wonderful. I said, they are now. But God tell you to do something, he give you this vision. And the vision is true. He show you all kind of beautiful things, but he don't tell you the stuff in the middle. That present stuff, he don't get involved with that, you know, and that future stuff. He just say, oh, here you are in the cornfield. You're feeling so good. You're full of zeal. You're excited to serve, excited to do what I told you. You can't even run fast enough. I remember couldn't wait till the Sunday came back around. Sunday couldn't get around fast enough because I used to tell Pastor Alfred, I said, man, I got 532 messages in me. I could preach anytime. I'm loaded. But time. Time. It wasn't 90 days. I think two of the seven people that was a part of the church left. Wrong. No, left wrong. And then one Sunday, we showed up. There was nobody. I say nobody. Zero. Test of time. What you going to do with that? Your motive gets tested. I used to tell Gloria, I had a remote control to hit record. We ain't had no sound man to fuss at. Fuss at myself. Cut the volume up, stupid. Okay, okay. I tell Gloria, ain't nobody here, but I'll preach to the machine. Because somebody will get the CD. Or that time, cassette. And they'll be blessed. So it's like preaching to thousands of people anyway. I push record and go to preaching. One time I was preaching hard, and some friends of mine came in while in the middle of me preaching to nobody. And they just had that look like, yeah, he done lost everything. I'm serious. I was gone, man. Those chairs were happy. But I had made up my mind that I had heard from the creator of the heavens and the earth. I made a commitment to the creator of the heavens and the earth. And if he could create the heavens and the earth, he could create what he told me he sent me to preach to. And so now today I'm preaching to you. He told me it would happen. Here we are now. But there were tests. Along the way, there was tests, tests, tests. What you going to do with this? This one do something weird. That go crazy. This happened. That happened. Try to build a building. Yeah, I know. I know. I hear y'all talking. So quiet. Man, I've been trying to build a building for 20 years. Yeah, even before I started. You get all the architectural done. You got plenty of money in the bank. And then the bank gets seized by the federal government. You got 10 years of relationship. Loan after loan that you've paid on time. Money in the bank. Good relationship with your banker. That banker gets shipped down to another bank in another city. And here you are sitting there dead in the water. Test. Test didn't start there or end there. Test just started that because then I got to come back and tell y'all. Church folk, they don't believe what preachers say. If it's not making them feel good. I told you I'm going to take my time. Can I work this? Mama, is it okay? Can I take my time and work this? I know it's long. It's long, but they got to get the CD or download, whatever they need to do. So I had to go back to God now. Oh, man, I got so much here I got to work with. Let me shut up. So all I can do is what God told me to do. I can't, the turbulence, I didn't anticipate the turbulence. I didn't call it. It just happened, and the man said, sit down and put your seatbelt on. I just had to sit down and put my seatbelt on. And then let God be God. But I still got to face it. I still got to deal with all of the processes. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? They're a test of time. Think about your own story. Think about your own story. So time will test your obedience. You're going to obey God through it. Time will test your commitment. Time will do it. Man, I need more time. I'm going to leave this alone because Isaiah 40:31 said, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, isn't it interesting up here in Galatians? He said, now, let us not grow weary. But then Isaiah said, they won't be weary. Shared with the brothers yesterday, can you imagine running and not getting tired? Particularly at 53. Get out in this parking lot. Just run around this building. But they that wait on the Lord can keep doing what God told them to do and not be worn out. In fact, if you're waiting on God, see, now if you're waiting on people, if you're waiting on the circumstances to change, if you're waiting on anything other than God, you're going to be worn out. But they that wait on him, there's an expectation that comes with waiting on God. There's an anticipation that comes with waiting on God. There's a knowing, in fact, when you walk with him long enough, that this can only get better. And it can only work out for my good as long as I stay with what I said I was going to stay with. God is faithful. God is faithful. I hope you're passing your tests. I hope that as time progresses and you encounter and experience various things, that you stay with what you told God you were going to do. You're serving in this church, you know. Don't serve for me. Don't serve for harvest. Don't serve for your spouse or your. Some folks say, "Well, I'm doing this for my children." Don't do that. Don't do that. That's a waste. You may as well just go watch a ball game or some golf or something. Serve for him. Commit to him. If you commit to God, there's nothing that I can do to ever get you off of that. I can't upset you. I can't frustrate you. You know, you won't be looking for me to give you a promotion that I can't give you. You won't be looking for me to give you recognition that I really can't afford to give, because if I'm going to recognize people, I got to recognize everybody. And then all of a sudden we got a hierarchical scale of recognition. Well, this one gets recognized because they gave the most money. This one gets recognized because they come every Sunday. We ain't got time for that. We're here to build something that will bring glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God some praise. This is a good word. Good word today.